Amen, amen, amen. Just lift your hands to where you are right now. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord, for confirming your word, Father, with signs following. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. How many of you know God doesn't do things by coincidence or by chance? Yep. You know, God operates in timing. Yeah, it's all about timing. It's interesting that Brother Phil brought forth the message last week about the harvest. Right? So there's a great transference of wealth. It's for the harvest. So the timing, you know, God is just spot on. It's just amazing how he does things, you know. And it's the beginnings of the camels, but for me, it's semi-trucks, yeah?
Amen.
I mean, nowadays, right? We live in 2018, right? Semi-trucks coming. Praise the Lord. But anyway, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. For those of you visiting for the first time, we just want to welcome you this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. But we want to continue our series on transform people with renewed minds. Praise God. As you turn into your Bible, let me share with you this story. Did you know that the monarch butterflies, you remember those crown flowers we used to pick for make lays? How many of you remember that? I remember as a child we used to pick the crown flowers, yeah? I remember those cocoons used to hang and the butterfly, the orange-winged butterflies, yeah, we used to catch and put them in the jars and make pukas on the top, yeah? And then a couple days later, you know, we forget about them and they're dead, right? Yeah, we all remember those days, right? Well, that's the monarch butterfly, okay? But the monarch butterflies follow a very specific generational migration. It's amazing. They start in Mexico. The first generation will fly to the southern United States, where they will remain for life. Now, their offsprings will fly to the central states of the United States, are on the air of the Ohio River where they reproduce. Now their offsprings will fly to, Ohio River where they reproduce. And at this point, the third generation will migrate to Canada to lay their eggs. It's amazing. Now the fourth generation of these monarch butterflies that are born in Canada will then take a miraculous flight all the way to the same mountains in Mexico where their great-grandparents originated from. And they've been doing this for countless and countless of years. This incredible butterfly has been following this same four-generational cycle, one of the most incredible yet mysterious journeys in the natural world. In short, they do it because it's in their nature. Animals do things by instinct. So when we come across this scripture where Paul says that, that we have to renew our minds, a lot of the times we do things out of cycles. You know, the same old habits, the same old cycle, what we call the same old. Yeah? How many of you can say, man, I'm tired of the same old, same old? And that's what I mean about transform, renewed minds, you know, transform people, yeah? About how to transform or change your life. Now, Paul makes a statement in Romans chapter 12, verses 2. He says, speaking to all followers of Christ, and he makes this statement. He says in verse 2, do not, notice that. It's pretty much a warning, right? If I walk on the road and it says, do not enter, do I enter? No, it's telling me, you know, watch out. You know, there's something up there that you got to watch for. So be aware. So he says, do not be conformed to this world, but, I like the buts, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice the emphasis, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I think the Amplified says your reasonable, logical act of worship. I think the last 2 weeks we were talking about worship that pleases God. And worship that pleases God is worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, to be engaged with God, His presence. And when you engage with the presence of God by worship, that brings transformation. But what I want to key here this morning about is the renewing of your mind. Now the word transform, as we're talking about butterflies, Paul uses here the Greek word metamorphosis. Everybody say metamorphosis. And the illustration he gives is of a caterpillar that changes or transforms from a caterpillar to a butterfly. The change is something completely different than it was before. When the caterpillar transforms or changes into a butterfly, it becomes what God always intended it to become, a butterfly. Yeah. So this is how total transformation should be when it comes to our minds or our thoughts or our thought patterns, all right? In Romans chapter 12, too, it informs us that God has a plan in mind for us, and his will towards us is good because he's a good God. It's acceptable. It's reasonable. He's not unreasonable, right? And it's perfect. But notice, in order to know what his good and acceptable will for us is, our minds have to be renewed to it. Because if our minds are not renewed to the plan of God that he has for us, then it's not going to be acceptable on our end. Because the natural fallen state of man is not in agreement with the mind of God, right? In fact, Paul tells us about the crooked way or the crooked mindset of that inward inclination of man, that human man, the fallen state of man, that always wants to do the opposite of God's will or God's word. That crooked way, the inward inclination to do wrong. Yeah, it's bent. In fact, when Jesus talks about wicked, the wickedness of men, he's talking about that candle, that wick, right? That twisting, that moral twisted mindset that opposes God. Yes, follow me. And that's why our minds have to be renewed. Because in order for your life to be a worship to God, because everything, when you look at the fallen state of man, everything's on me. It's all about me. It's all about us. But in order to truly worship God, to know that your worth is on God, our eyes have to be on us, off of us. And in order to do that, our mind's got to be renewed. That God's worth is much more worthy than me. Because everything we deal about church is about who? It's about Jesus. Right? It's not about us. But yet, he's a good God. He includes us. I mean, he's a good Father. So when we talk about renewing our minds, it's about getting rid of wrong thinking, or what we call stinking thinking. Amen. Before we can experience all the good things that God has planned for us, the renewing of our mind requires faith. How many of you know that? The renewing of your mind requires faith, and faith is acting on the Word of God. See, you act on the Word, you apply it in order to change the way you think about your life, about the way you think about your relationships, about your family, about work. Things change. See, when you gave this morning, you gave in response to your renewed mind, right? because it's right to give. But the mind that is not renewed will think, wow, I got these bills to pay. I can really use this money. Yeah, that's how it operates. But the renewed mind says, I'm going to obey God because I believe God. I trust God. And therefore, you have no discussion. Just like you got up this morning, it's part of your life. You just sow, you just tithe. It's automatic. But the renewed mind, the unrenewed mind will say, you know what? Man, I can really use, I got more bills. I got to use this money for this. Just follow me. Yeah. Now, notice that your thoughts determines your actions. Your thoughts determine your actions. Most of us thought about coming to church this morning, and your actions, determine where you are right now. There's a lot of people woke up and thought about going down the beach. There's a lot of people woke up and thought about going to the mall. And guess where they are? They're at the beach, and they're at the mall. Why? Because of the decision, the thought that they had, and the decision that they made. But I'm glad you're in church, right? But they need to be in church as well, right? So your thoughts determines your actions. Kind of like the joke, I probably told this before, but I think it's appropriate. Kind of like the mom who tried to get her son to get up from service. How many of your moms struggle to get your kids up from service, come to church? I mean, we used to go through it. We all did. And the mom tried to get her son, wake up the son to get him to go to service. And the son yelled back and says, give me 3 reasons why I need to go to church. So the mom says, well, I don't want to go by myself. It would be great that you go to church with me. It's Sunday morning. We should go to church. And he says, what's the 3rd reason? Well, you're the pastor. You're preaching. Amen? I can talk about myself, right? So your thoughts determine your actions. To change your life, you must change your mind or change your thoughts, the way that you think. Seeing things through the eyes of faith, having God's perspective. I think Cheryl mentioned that this morning. Having God's perspective, seeing the way that God sees things. The body follows where the mind goes, right? The body follows where the mind goes. It is said by nutritionists, and I have heard this myself, you are what you eat. How many of you ever heard that? You are what you eat. Nothing is further from the truth. You are what you think. Yes, you are. You are what you think. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Brother Kenneth Hagin, he made this statement. He said that the greatest need for the unbeliever is salvation, to receive Jesus Christ and to be born again. How many of you know that's the greatest need for an unbeliever? Yeah. And we have that message for them, right? But he also said the greatest need for the believers, or all who follow Jesus Christ, is to have a renewed mind. For all believers is to have a renewed mind. Why? Because it's no mystery that we live out what we think. We live out what we think. For some of us, it's obvious, right? We live out what we think. Our thoughts can be a very powerful guiding force in our lives, for the good and sometimes not so good. How many of you know where our mind goes? Yeah? Our actions will soon follow. Let me ask a question. What are we watching? You know, on the television, on our iPhones. You know, I was thinking about, you know, not to get on anybody on about their phones. I think we pretty much get the message. But, you know, we have at our disposal information, all kind of information. I think I may have mentioned a couple weeks ago that the average person who uses a cell phone, you know, they look at their phones 25 times every day. And some of us might be more. That equivalents to 6 minutes every time you're looking at your phone. And I was reading an article about our cell phones, how it stirs up the dopamines in your brain. It's kind of like an addiction, where you hear that ting, I got a message. And it just draws you to that, you know? Or trying to find out how many likes, you know, you post something and then you want to see how many likes you got. And it becomes an endorphin where it gets you to the point like, man, I got to see this. It's actually an addiction. You know? Yeah. In fact, one of the ways you can renew your mind is by turning off your cell phones, by getting off the internet. Yeah. In fact, one time I was going through my cell phone, and my old phone, this is way better because it has a filter. But in order for delete all my trash, you know, every so often you got to go in and delete it all. I had to go in and delete it. And I looked, and all of a sudden I had a flood of all these emails. And a lot of them was, triple X. I mean, very, very, you know, not too pleasing kind of emails. And I literally thought somebody hacked my phone. I told Pastor Carol, I said, man, I had all this junk come in my mail for the first time, you know? And I had to delete it all. But it doesn't happen to this one now. Yeah. I remember one time, you know, we're talking about renewing our minds. I remember one time I was driving to work. I used to work at Kapalua, do that drive every day. And as I came into the intersection of the road, had this Heineken truck right next to me, a delivery truck. You ever saw those graphic designs that they have? So I'm parked on the right and he's on the left, we're waiting for the street light. And I look, I go, wow, check out those graphics. See all the Heineken bottles, all nice and like ice, and all nice and cold. This happened years ago. It didn't happen yesterday. So I'm looking at that, right? And I'm meditating. I'm looking, wow, check this out. And then I'm getting all these thoughts like, wow, that would really taste good. I mean, it looks nice and icy cold, you know? And I'm thinking, I think I might have one. But, you know, the way it plays into it, your fallen nature. And all of a sudden I caught myself and says, hey, you can be thinking like that, you know? You catch yourself in those moments, right? Because we live in this world. Jesus says you're in this world, but you are not of this world, right? So that's why it's important for our minds to be renewed. Because the continual bombardment of how we receive information, of how we see things and how we hear, I mean, that's how we gain information to what we see, what we hear. So, you know, it's so careful what you're looking in, having this at your disposal, what you're looking at, especially if they're pornographic. See? Yeah. These are all enticements that can get you in bondage. You know, just one look, and you're hooked. So, guys, we got to be careful of what we're feeding ourselves, what we're feeding our children, what they're watching on TV, you know? Because these things are influencing us. And it's developing our personalities and our perception. And some of these things we watch, some of these things we hear, it'll warp the way you think. It will. Yeah. Does that make sense? See, because what we're allowing our thoughts and actions and emotions, see, what are we allowing to enter into our ear gates, our eye gates, and into our minds on a daily basis that literally frames and influences our thoughts, our actions, our emotion, which creates our personalities and the decisions that we make. Kind of like the saying, Opala comes in, Opala comes out, right? Yeah? Real simple. Excuse me. Now, let me see. You see, your mind is the battleground. Everybody say battleground. Your mind is the battleground on which the war for your emotion, purpose, effectiveness, and fullness of life is either won or lost. The battle is between your ears. It's either won or lost right between your ears. See, your mind is the soulish realm, that part of the human being that thinks, feels, reasons, wills, perceives, and judges. That is attacked daily by the enemy. It's your mind, your will. Your mind is your will. Yeah? Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. It's that soulish realm that is attacked by the devil constantly. The way you think, the way you feel, the way you reason things out, the way you perceive and judge things. It's your mind that the world is trying to influence for its benefit. And it's your mind that the Lord desires to renew every day. In order for you to have an abundant life and live in abundant relationship with God, so if your mind truly is the battleground, which it is, how do you and I come out victorious over Satan and his schemes? You know, the Bible clearly says that to achieve victory over your mind, your thought life, it must continually, everybody say continually, be renewed by the power of God's word. Sounds like work to me. Yeah. If we got to continually, our minds have to be continually renewed. It is work, but it's good work. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, reading from the New Living Translation, it says, Study this book of instructions continually. Notice that. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. Notice that. Study. You know, my coach, when I used to play football, my coach, you know, we used to, we practice on the field, we do drills after drills, you know, we run the offense, he says, do it again, everything was done by repetition, do it again, and then, you know, he gives us playbooks, study these playbooks, get it in your heart, get it in your head, you know, continuously, memorize it, I still remember I still remember those plays and what my blocking assignments are, playing center. To this very day, I still remember, because it was drilled in me every time, you know, who to block, how to block, when to block. I mean, I could remember even in my sleep, meditating on it, memorizing it, getting it in my heart. I mean, this is like, what, almost 40 years being out of high school, and I still remember those plays. How come? Because it's been drilled. And this is what Joshua is saying, man. Meditate on this. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. You know? Continually. That word meditate means to mutter, talk it over to yourself. Think deeply, ponder, reflect, consider on it day and night. Notice that, day and night. Everything in between is your free time. As long as you're meditating day and night, right? The word renewed is defined to make new or to exchange one thing for another. Romans chapter 12, 2, New Living says, Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. How many of you know that you're an original? You're not a copycat, right? So it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. You see, the Christian life is a transformed life. The transformation of life comes about, as the Apostle Paul declares, through a renewed mind. Thinking the way that God thinks. See, if I meditate on God's word, guess what happens? I begin to think like God, right? You begin to think like your father. And when you begin to think like your father, how many of you know you begin to get the same results as Jesus did when you begin to think like him? Yeah? So when Pastor Carol was saying the camels are coming, that's logical to me because it aligns with the word of God. It aligns with my father. To know that you have a renewed mind is everything about the word is logical. It makes sense. But to not have a renewed mind is to not think the same. You guys follow me? Yeah. So when God says all things are possible to them that believe, to me, I just think, okay, it's logical to me. All things are possible. So with my Father, there's nothing that is impossible. Because that stems from a mind that has been renewed. Yeah. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, taking everything, a high thought, taking captive every high thought that exalts itself above the, you know, the knowledge of God. So to think like God is not a high thought. Sometimes we think, oh, I cannot think too big of myself. No, no, God wants you to think big. Amen. He wants you to think like him. Yes. To think opposite of that is a high thought. To think that you cannot is a high thought. Anything that opposes his word is a high thought. I always used to think, if I was greater, I need to be humble. Yeah, we need to be humble. But God wants you to think like him, you know? The transformation of life comes about, as the Apostle Paul declares, through the renewal of the mind or the thinking the way that God thinks. Studying and meditating of God's word renews the mind. You know, when we talk about meditation or renewing our mind, it's not just a casual, when I can. Well, you know, some of us, we get these apps where it shoots you a verse. You know, it's great. But that's not enough. When we talk about renewing of the mind, of meditation and studying, we're talking about saturation. Yeah. Because how many of you know we still have wrong thinking? Yeah? If we're honest enough, there's still some things that we think wrong about. And that's fine, because we have help. We have the way to remedy that. But you know, how many of you know you've come a long way from the way you used to think? And praise God, that's great. Yeah. You know, back in the day, you know, when somebody told me that I was the righteousness of God, I remember I shared this before, I said, wow, that's amazing. To be right standing with God, and that God, you know, he looks at you justified as if you never sinned. To me, that's amazing. Because you, here you have the devil reminding you of everything that you've done wrong, right? And if you went with your feelings, you believe all what the devil says. But then you got to align and begin to renew your mind that I am the righteousness of God. Not because of what I've done, but because of everything that Jesus did, right? We receive that gift of right standing with him. It's the gift of righteousness. So it took years for me to think right and to right everything that I've done wrong. You guys follow me? Yeah. So it's a process. It's a process. The renewing of the mind is not a one-time event. It's a daily event. It's a daily continuing of renewing our minds to God. Yeah. And that's why it's so important. See, the Bible is not just basic instructions for living on earth, right? B-I-B-L-E. But it's also basic instructions for living here on the earth right now. The Bible will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the Bible. Yeah? So when you talk about meditation, you know, until we actually sit down and invest the time to open our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to saturate our minds, to transform us, the renewing of our mind will never happen. Now notice this, the renewing of your mind is not simply changing your thoughts, but it's actually putting off the old negative thoughts as well as putting on God's thoughts. So putting off the old. We can't just say, Lord, give me your thoughts and somehow expect him to automatically give us his mind. Boy, I wish it was that easy. Yeah. It's kind of like a baby, right? You change the baby's diaper, right? You take the old messy diaper and you put the new one. You know, you don't put a new diaper over the old diaper, right? You remove the old and you put the new. And that's the same thing about renewing your mind. You got to remove the old and put on the new. Yeah. So there's work to be done. You say, well, how long is that going to last? Well, however long you'll be here on this earth, it'll be continued. Put your hand over your heart. Your heart beating? Okay, soon your heart stops. It ends there. It ends when your renewing of your mind ends when you go back to Jesus. Amen. But other than that, it's a daily, everyday thing. Yeah. Now God puts conforming to the world as being transformed and being transformed by the renewing of your mind in opposition, at odds one with the other. There's no gray area. It's like oil and vinegar. It doesn't mix. Your mind is either being won for the kingdom of God or lost to the world. You're either thinking pleasing thoughts about God or not. So you're either being conformed to this world system or you're being transformed by the word system. We're either being influenced by this world's ideology, which is totally anti-Christ and anti-God. All you got to do is just watch the news. Or you're being influencers of God's kingdom who are continually being changed and transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, it's interesting, when God delivered the nation of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, with a strong hand, Egypt being a type of the world, although Israel was physically relocated out of Egypt, God had to do a spiritual transformation in their hearts. Because although he removed them out of Egypt, he had to get Egypt out of their hearts, right? Because wherever they went, they kept on looking behind. Oh, I remember the days of, you know, the leeks and eating all this. So God had to do a spiritual transformation in their hearts to get Egypt out of their hearts. Scripture says, do not conform or copy any longer to the pattern or behavior of this world. The word conform, notice this, the word conform refers to an outward expression of behavior that does not reflect what is inside of a person. The word conform actually implies the idea of masquerading. People wear masks when they're trying to present an image of something that they're not. You know, when I go in the facility, the prison facility, I have all these different guys come to my services. So a lot of these guys who come to my service for the first time, they have this image that they have to present to me, like this tough image, right? Because they have all these other guys that they have to look a certain way. But I tell you what, they come to our services, the Holy Ghost is present. I mean, that image is out the window. The Holy Ghost comes in, touch their heart. They're the very ones crying right there in my arms. The Holy Spirit just melts their hearts and the image is completely gone. Yeah. What happened? They came in masquerading. Yeah. So God was able to remove that mask and become the very person that they are. So Paul is saying when believers conform themselves to the patterns of this world, we're wearing a mask that is inconsistent with who we are as followers of Christ. In other words, don't masquerade as somebody who doesn't know God. Amen. Just be who God created you to be, unique, special, one of a kind. I read this phrase. It says that, this is for you ladies, a princess is not a princess because she's married to a prince. You're a princess because of who your father is, the king, right? That's who you are. So princess, sorry guys, the king. Mother's Day is coming up, yes, so that's a plug for Mother's Day. I remember saying this before, quote, the world. The world is not our enemy, but the world is our mission field. Remember when we used to be in the world, doing our own thing, yeah? Somebody shared Christ with us, right? So the world is not our enemy, but it's our mission field. Jesus says in the Great Commission, he commands us, all believers, to go where? Into the world, right? And proclaim and preach the gospel, the good news. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Jesus said, you are in this world, in me you have peace, but in this world you will have trials and tribulations. He's talking about the world. Jesus said what? You're in this world, but you are not of this world. In fact, Jesus says, I'm from above. So where are you from? We're from above. Jesus also said, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. 2 Corinthians 4 says, Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who believe. So the Bible has a lot to say about the, quote, world, right? In fact, 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So the word world in the Greek word means cosmos. Cosmos most often refers to the inhabited earth and the people who live on the earth, which functions apart from God. Satan is the ruler of this cosmos. This is a fallen world, right? When man fell, man transgressed in the garden, his act of disobedience to God, right? God had everything in order, but man fell, he transgressed, and sin came in, and therefore that's why we have a fallen world. Satan became the god of this world, right? Is that thing rubbing up here? I'm moving down. Jesus says, now the judgment of this world shall the prince of this world be cast out. So by simple definition, the word world refers to a government world system that is ruled by Satan, the god of this world. So this government world system, the attitude, the beliefs, the philosophies, the world refers to the popular view that rejects God and his revelation. The word world is better translated age. In fact, another translation says, do not be conformed to this age. And while the world and its belief, philosophies, and mindset is considered to be wisdom in their own eyes, how many of you know God sees it totally different? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 20, Paul says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? That God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Amen. So Paul is warning all believers, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in, you blend in without even thinking. How many of you know that that can happen? We can come so blended into our culture that we don't think about it. The way we should look at, you know, the perspective, I think what Cheryl was saying, you know, it's a privilege to be here in the presence of God and to be able to worship with brothers and sisters of like faith and to be able to have the freedom and the liberty that we have here in God's presence. But yet we cannot blend in with this world. God has called us to be different. He called us to be light to the world and salt to the earth, to make a difference. That each one of us has the, you know, it's a privilege to be able to be called a son of God, a child of God. But it also carries a responsibility that we cannot hold this message, this treasure that we have, everything that we experience here. This is basically a hospital. This is a learning center to fully equip you, right? The fivefold ministry is here as a gift to you to equip you to do the work of the ministry and to bring you up into a place of full stature in Christ so that you can be the body of Christ and to be able to share the good news with others, right? So we're not called to blend in and to become part of our culture. We're here to make a difference. Yeah. Amen. Each one of us. So as believers, we no longer conform to this world because we no longer serve the spirit of this age. We belong to God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1:13 says, for he, God, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he transferred us or relocated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, who purchased us our freedom and forgave our sins. Amen? So we belong to God now. We're under different leadership. We're under different ownership. Right? God is our Father. So Jesus says, you are in this world, but you are not of this world system that is governed by Satan. We're of the word system. So as believers, we're no longer ruled by sin, nor are we bound by the principles of this world, the spirit, the mindset, the attitude, the philosophies, the behavior, the pleasure which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In addition, as believers, we are being changed into the image of Christ. It causes our interest in the things of this world to become less and less as we grow mature in Christ. So as believers in Christ, we are simply in this world physically. being light to the world and salt to the earth, but we are not of the world. Nor are we part of its values. Amen. This is the meaning of being holy and living a holy, righteous life, to be set apart from the world and to be set apart to God. This is what holy life is. We separate ourselves from the world's values because we are holy before God. We engage with God not in sinful activities that the world promotes, nor are we to retain the spirit facades of the corrupt minds that the world creates. So we've been teaching on a series called Transform People with Renewed Minds. Now, for that to occur, we need to focus on one essential means of transformation. And what is it? That's the renewal of our mind. So now, how crucial is this? Well, if you long to break loose from conformity to this world, it's crucial. How many of you know Christians still can be operating in conformity? Yeah. I do. There's some things that I have to change the way I think. Yeah. But I'm in a better place right now. Yeah. This is not a worldly problem. It's in our church as well. So God had to get the world out of the nation of Israel, How many of you know God got to get the world out of here? Yeah. Out of the church. And that's why God's bringing us to a place of honor. He's bringing us to a place of true worship. He's bringing us to the fundamentals of our faith in God. He's bringing us back to what worship is. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. So when we say about coming home, it's all about bringing people back to Him. Yeah? To Jesus. And praise God, we're back on track. So how crucial is it? How crucial is the renewing of your mind? Well, if you long to be transformed from the inside out and from the outside in. You see, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit, He works on the inside of you, right? He works on the inside of you to transform you. The day that you got saved, right? Guess who came in? The Holy Spirit. In fact, you have one spirit because the Holy Spirit took over your spirit. Yeah? Right? You guys follow me? So He transformed us from the inside, the Holy Spirit. But then He also transformed us from the outside and the inside. And that's why it's so important to meditate on the Word, to saturate ourselves from the inside, the outside. And at the same time, He changes us from the inside. So there's a due process that occurs in your life. He changes you within, and He changes you without. He hits you from both sides. Double barrel. Bang. Isn't that amazing? So how crucial is this? Well, if you long to be free from mere duty-driven Christianity so that you do what you love to do because you love to do and what you do, what you ought to do, we get to do what we do. It's not like we have to. We love to do what we do. We love to serve God, right? We love to be in church. We love one another because we love it. We don't have to. If you long to offer your body as a living sacrifice, so your whole life becomes a spiritual act of worship that displays the worth of Christ above the worth of the world, then you know what? Let's join in this adventure and let's give our total self with all your might pursuing this. What is it called? Renewing our minds. Because this is the key to true transformation of changing your life. It's a renewed mind. So as we say, when we go into prison, we ask the ACO, any takers? Anybody coming to service? He said, there's a whole bunch of guys waiting. So how many takers? Say, man, let's get on this adventure, man. And let's go on the process of renewing our minds. Yeah? You want to be a better dad? Renew your mind. You want to be a better mom? Renew your mind. Yeah. Let me give you, almost closing. Let me give you five simple and practical ways to get you started on renewing your mind. Okay, we're teaching about renewing your mind. Well, let's give you some homework. Number one, stop memorizing scriptures. We're talking about renewing our minds. Stop memorizing scriptures. It's a sure way to get you meditating on God's word. It's all about saturation. It's not about a little dab. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. So begin to memorize scriptures. Yeah? Number two, study your Bible. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman not needed to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Now, studying is a little bit more deeper than memorizing, because now you're taking the time to learn the word of God, right? I think I gave you guys something way back, the acronym SOAP, right? S-O-A-P, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. Real simple. Simple Bible study you can do. Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. Find a scripture verse, observe the scripture, write exactly what stuck out to you about that particular scripture and how it applies and affects your life. Write it out in a prayer to God based on what you just learned and ask God to help you to apply and live out that truth. Pretty cool, yeah? Number four, take time to listen when you pray. It's a relationship, right? God will speak if you take time to listen. Prayer is 90% listening and 10% talking. Yeah. For me, preparation of a message is more listening than talking. God, what do you want to say? And number five, I think I mentioned it earlier, take a social media break. Turn off your cell phones. Turn off your internet. Getting off social media is the key to renewing your mind. Here's the thing. Do you really need to know what so-and-so ate for breakfast? What so-and-so ate for lunch? What so-and-so had for dinner? Is that really important? Does looking up a fact on the internet really add value to your life? See, the thing is, we've grown so used to having the internet at our fingertips, we've forgotten how to think without it. I was with a pastor friend. We're getting ready for our men's breakfast coming up in March 24th. So we went to, we went to this one place, local restaurant. And when we went in there, it was kind of surprising because we went in just before lunch, and there was a whole bunch of people having a big sit-down lunch. It was like, wow. Usually people do it in the evening. But it was all these kapunas, our elders. There was like about 30 of them, all eating, having a good time. So, you look, you go, oh, yeah, I recognize all them. So you got to go there, hug, kiss, respect, right, honor. I mean, it's a big deal in my house when we grew up. When my grandma and my grandmother used to come, they would sit right in the middle of the living room. You come home from school, right? Don't you dare walk past them. Don't you dare walk past them and go in your bedroom. Especially if my dad's there. You get a crack. Literally. But anyway, we walk in this restaurant, there's all this whole bunch of people. And we sat on our table right next to them. You know what was the amazing thing I noticed was none of them had cell phones. They were actually having conversations. Yeah. Nobody was a... No, they were all having conversation. They were all having a good time. You know, any place I go in the public, that's the first thing I see. I watch. Yeah. Are people talking? You know, so we were talking about that. I said, hey, Pastor, check this out. He said, yeah, that's amazing. I said, you know, we have so much information right in our hands, yet we lost the art of communication on a one-on-one basis. Yeah, it's lost. But I think we're getting it back. Yeah. I mean, here in the age of technology, and yet we're getting so distant and distant and distant. Yeah, farther apart. Interesting, they call that social media. But it's not causing any social unity. Yeah, connections. Yeah. So like I said, one of the ways to renew your mind is turn off the social media. Let's see. Okay, well, we'll close here for now. Well, let me try this one more thing. What was that, number four? Let me give number five. Capture negative thoughts. See, when you start in the process of renewing your mind, how many of you know negative thoughts will come? Yeah, and you got a devil out there who's throwing out suggestions as well, yeah? He'll feed those negative thoughts as well and make it seem like it's your thoughts. Negative thoughts steal mental space in your head to think things God calls us to think of, to think about. It steals mental space in your head. Philippians chapter 4:8 instructs us to think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. What things? True, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. So when you catch yourself thinking negatively, right, immediately snatch that thought and replace it with what I just said. You have to do it immediately because you're training yourself. Don't just say, that's all right. No. You have to catch it immediately and replace it right away. How you replace a bad thought? By replacing it with a good thought. How do you replace a bad habit? By incorporating a good habit. It's real simple. But you have to do it consistently. Yeah. And therefore, you know, when you do it consistently, the devil will come and try to push those buttons. Hey, that button don't work no more. It's out of order. Go ahead, push them all you like. Yeah, it doesn't work. So next week, the following week, because next week Olivia Moore will be with us next Sunday, right? Yeah. So we're excited for her being here. But the following week, we'll talk more about the spirit and the soul. Yeah? They're the same, but they're different. All right? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Okay? So we'll close right there. So Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are on this adventure, this journey as a family. That, Lord, we're on this project. And Father, that, we're allowing you, Lord, to renew our minds. And we're doing our part, Lord, to change the way that we think. Because, Lord, you said this year, Lord, that this would be a year of revelation, that will bring transformation, change, Lord. And Father, we want lasting change, Lord. We don't want temporary change. But Lord, we want lasting change. It will totally transform us, Lord. Just like the caterpillar to the butterfly, Lord, we want to change our lives. And Lord, you said that if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become brand new. Lord, spiritually, we're brand new in Christ. But Lord, our minds have to be changed, the way we think. Our thought patterns. So, Father, we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit to allow that to happen, Father. Every day, Holy Spirit, you are our helper. Help us as we progress in this adventure. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our families. And Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just want to also pray for the family of Billy Graham, tremendous father of faith, one of our generals. We pray for the family. And Lord, we just pray that you strengthen the family and let their hearts be encouraged, Father. We know they are. But Lord, they still grieve and they still miss him. So Father, we just ask that you bless the Graham family as the body of Christ come together. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his example. We thank you for everything that he's done, Lord, in proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and the lives that so many, many, Lord, were touched by the ministry that he had. And Lord, that he served a fruitful life, and great is the harvest and great is his reward. And Father, as he entered into the gates of heaven, Father, your words was, enter in thy good and faithful servant of God. So Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. 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 You guys received the word this morning? Yes. Praise God. You guys joining me with this spiritual adventure? Amen. All right.